to think that you have some special privilege just because you walked down the aisle, just because you went through the waters of baptism. Was there a transformation of the heart? That's the important part. From the beginning, baptism was to be an outward sign of an inward reality. Baptism is not a means to an end. In other words, baptism doesn't save us. It gives the outward sign of the inward reality of being baptized in the heart, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So how are we saved? How are we justified before God? It is not by our works. You could never do enough works. You would always fail, and we always do. It's not by works that we're saved. It's not by circumcision that Jews are saved. It's not by baptism that we are saved, but by faith. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." That's what the Jews were doing with circumcision, and sometimes that's what we do with baptism. And so what this means for us is very important. Think about this. In other words, if justification happens at the very moment that a person places their genuine faith in Jesus Christ, when you trust by faith in Jesus Christ, that is your act of trusting and receiving that grace that He's offered to you, then there is nothing that can be added to that faith to make salvation complete. It's already complete. He already did everything that needed to be done. There's nothing else to do. There's no additional requirement. Circumcision can't be added, and by that same principle, neither can baptism. Justification and adoption into God's family and the new birth are sovereign acts of God, and they are accomplished instantly when you trust and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. These things are not processes that we finish through obedience. They're works that God completes by His grace. And so there's no later act that can bring about what God has already done at the moment of saving faith. They've already happened at that first act of saving faith. Once God has acted, the matter is settled forever. But notice Paul issues, not only to the Jews, but to us, a strong warning. Do not become arrogant. You as a Christian don't have some special privilege that Jews are any less. As Gentiles, you don't support the root. The root supports you. We only stand by faith. And just like unbelief led to judgment for some Jews, so unbelief would lead to judgment for anyone who clings to the tree outwardly without inward transformation. So finally, the message is clear. There is no salvation apart from God's covenant promise. And there is no place in those promises apart from faith. So everyone who believes, whether it's a Jew or whether it's a Gentile, are engrafted in together. Everyone who believes on external attachment without faith is in danger. So as we come to the end of this message, I want you to pause and to think about what God has maybe been saying to your heart and to ask, so is this important? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Paul's words don't leave us with any room for any kind of false confidence. Or no excuse for spiritual complacency. God is not impressed by our outward religion. He's not persuaded by our heritage or by our rituals or by our performance. He is looking for hearts that have been changed by His Spirit. And the good news is this, that this is exactly what Jesus Christ came to accomplish. It's through His death and His resurrection, He established a new covenant, one in which God doesn't just command obedience, He supplies us the power to obey. He circumcises the heart. He writes the law within your heart. He draws you into a living relationship with Himself. And so the question then isn't whether you go to church or not. or whether you know the Bible or not, or whether you're connected with other believers or not. The question is whether the Spirit of God has circumcised, has transformed your heart. That's the root that we need to ask the question of this morning. The question is whether he has written God's law within you, whether he's freed you from the need for human approval and united you to himself through faith in Jesus Christ. So understand this morning. If you are here and you have trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you can say with the confidence that Paul is saying here, then this is my God. And these are my promises, and this is my story. All of this is your story. And if you've never trusted by faith in Christ, understand this morning. This day is not about becoming religious. If you're here this morning and you've looked around and you say, I know that person and I know they don't live like they should and I know this person doesn't do what they should do. I don't believe in this God because of that and I'm not going to trust in him. Do not let that keep you from the relationship with God. If you've never trusted by faith in Jesus, this is not about becoming religious. This is about being transformed into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Become a true Jew. A true follower of Jesus Christ, transformed in the heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, recognizing that you are not impressed by our outward appearance. Lord, we know that you delight in truth in the inward heart. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but the grace that transforms us. Lord, we ask you this morning to search our hearts. Lord, expose every false confidence that we have in our lives this morning. Lord, remove every reliance that we have had on an outward religion or inherited faith or just because our parents are Christians. Lord, we come before you. We come before you quietly and humbly. We recognize, Lord, that you can see far deeper than we ever could. You see past the words that we say. You see past our habits and our history and even our reputation. There is no one here, Lord, that is beyond your grace. You look directly at the heart. And Lord, we thank you that your desire is not to condemn us. Your desire is to redeem us. Lord, we confess that there are times that we're tempted to trust outward things like knowing the scripture or being in church or doing good things and that's somehow going to get us to heaven. You've told us over and over in your word, there is none that is good, no, not one. Lord, forgive us for that. Strip away every false confidence. Replace it, Lord, with a living faith that depends completely on you. Lord, do the work that only you can do. Lord, circumcise our hearts by your Spirit that we may love you fully and that we would walk with you faithfully. Lord, for every believer who's here listening today, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their faith this morning. Lord, deepen the assurance in that faith to know, Lord, that they don't have to wonder, today am I saved, tomorrow am I not, did I do this, that lost myself. Lord, I pray they would have the confidence to know that if they have truly, by faith, trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, give them that confidence to deepen that assurance of that relationship with you and help them, Lord, to rejoice in the identity that you have given them as your redeemed people. And Lord, for anyone who's here this morning or watching online who is still searching, who is still unsure, who maybe is still relying on outward religion rather than that inward transformation, Lord, draw them to yourself today. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. We trust in your mercy. We rest in your grace. And we pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, we want to invite you to come this morning to make that public profession of faith of what's happened in your heart if you've trusted by faith in him this morning. Brother Mike, come and lead us in this hymn. You come as the Lord lays on your heart.
I trust you in this. seated for just a moment. Brother Jonathan's going to come and share our announcements.
Brother Matt has an announcement to make.
Real quick, don't forget to sign up for the chili cook-off coming up in just 21 days. So I think we got 4 people signed up. We're going to need more than that for a good competition. And so please, think about that, sign up. Because also what we'd like to do with that, as we've done before, is also do like a little bake-off for Center Kid campers to help raise with their camp costs as well. Don't forget, coming up, well, I haven't told you this yet, but Brittany's not here today, but she wanted me to let you know, February 15th is our first VBS meeting, okay, at 3:30. So please mark that down, and you'll see it again in the newsletter, February 15th, and it'll be our first teachers meeting. Or if you're interested in helping with VBS, this will be a great opportunity for you to be there and kind of hear what we have going on and what we need help with. On top of that, our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board is doing an area-wide training on February 28th. Now, this would be in Mount Juliet from 10 to 12:30. And if we get enough people signed up, we'd like to be able to rent a van and go up there together, and we will grab lunch afterwards. It's also the same day as the men's banquet or the men's night of worship, but if you will be back, plenty in time for you to get to that if you're going to that. But if on pastor's by pastor's office on the bulletin board, you'll see a sign-up sheet for that, and also the breakout sessions of what they're going to be talking about. So maybe if you're in missions or crafts, or you're teaching third and fourth grade, or whatever that is, they're going to be breakout sessions and for all those different age groups. So be thinking about that, and you'll see that again in the newsletter for February. But want to go ahead and get that on your radar. So please feel free to sign up. If you got any questions, let me know.
One other announcement for today, there's a safety team meeting in the conference room about 10 minutes immediately after service. Brother Jimmy has an announcement.
As some of y'all may know, Mark Raymond has just got back home from being in Michigan taking care of his father. During service this morning, his brother sent him a message that dad is comfortable and stable right now. Have church pray. His evening is peaceful. The evenings have been so off the hook, having physically, having to keep him from hurting himself and others. So I was asking through Mark to request that everybody in this church be praying for Mark's father and for Mark and his brother as they take care of his father. So please take time this week to pray for them daily and hourly, and that they just struggle through this thing with his dad right now.
Thank you, Jimmy. Some other prayer requests. Ms. Gail McBride, she may get to come home today after having back surgery. Catherine Smith is at NHC recovering. Gayla Everett has 2 broken vertebrae, and she had to have surgery for that. Ryan Bond's family, remember him as he passed away. And Ashley, Brother Jim Samantha's daughter Ashley in St. Louis, she's fell and broke her elbow, and she had to have surgery. So please keep all of them in your prayers. Any other announcements? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Brian? Thank you, Brian. So, Brian's friend Ken has cancer, so keep him in your prayers as well. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this time to come together and hear your word and worship you. And please help for us as we go out to remember to walk in faith in you, Lord, not in our confidence, but in you, Lord. Please keep us safe as we go about in this week, Lord, and bring us back here safely. In Jesus' name we pray.